Coming up on KUCB News, the EPA finds an Unalaska cold storage facility, and a Bristol Bay fish buyer looks to the future. Stay tuned.
Local news is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, November 9th, 2017. After a dangerous ammonia leak last winter, Kloosterboer Dutch Harbor is renovating its refrigeration system, investing in its hazmat team, and paying a $10,000 fine. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced the settlement this week. It holds the seafood cold storage company responsible for violating emergency response statutes after an industrial freezer leaked 125 pounds of ammonia and seriously injured a worker caught inside.
They did immediately call 911, but they were very delayed in reporting to the state and the federal reporting requirements.
Erin Williams is an emergency planning and response coordinator for the EPA. She says Kloosterboer was almost 2 days late in notifying the necessary agencies, putting first responders at risk. The company could have been fined more than $100,000, but the penalty was reduced when Kloosterboer agreed to install extra safeguards.
One of which is updating computerized refrigeration control systems at their facility. It provides leak detections, alarms, and emergency shutoffs.
Kloosterboer is also training two employees in hazmat response and donating emergency equipment to the Unalaska Department of Public Safety. The prevention projects are estimated to cost $26,000. Meanwhile, Kloosterboer's Ron Rognes declined to answer questions about the incident, which marked the company's first EPA violation. But in a written statement, he said the settlement will, quote, ensure possible future ammonia leaks will be detected. The U.S. Coast Guard rescued an injured mariner yesterday morning after he was hit in the head by a block of frozen fish. Officials say the FV Defender was fishing 260 miles north of Cold Bay when a 37-pound block of frozen fish struck the man's head. A Coast Guard helicopter crew stationed in Cold Bay was sent to hoist the 21-year-old crew member from the vessel. He was transported to St. Paul and then to Anchorage for emergency medical care. A new Bristol Bay fish buyer is getting ready for the 2018 season. Northline Seafoods is planning to bring its 150-foot freezing barge into the Nishagak District. And as KDLG's Dave Benninger reports, it's on the hunt for some quality-minded drifters to buy from.
Ben Blakey is no stranger to the Bristol-based salmon processing game. His family used to run Snowpack Products, which operated the vessel now known as the Gordon Jensen, and also later the plant at Wood River, both of which were sold to Icicle Seafoods.
You know, I worked on the processing side of things until I was around 18, 19, and then bought a fishing boat back in the early 2000s when things were pretty cheap. You know, I fished between about 2003, 4 up until about 2015 when I took a hiatus to build Northline Seafoods.
Northline got going in 2016, and Blakey, its president, says they froze about 70,000 pounds of product in Sitka that summer. What he and his partner Pat Glob have been working on is how to improve the quality in high-volume salmon fisheries.
What we've really been focusing on is how to, you know, freeze a round fish properly. So that is, you know, minimize the labor input and try and freeze it as quickly as you can, as shortly after it's caught as you can.
They bought an old 150-foot logging barge and retrofitted it to buy, sort, and freeze salmon on board. Blakey says he likes the way this vessel is laid out to be a one-stop shop.
The housing is suspended over the deck, so we actually have a large flat area to work with, because essentially our platform is one giant freezer that just produces a lot of ice and freezes a lot of fish. And perhaps most importantly, it has space for a for buying stations.
Meaning Northline Seafoods isn't planning on using a tender fleet. For now, they intend to anchor up at Clark's Point and will be looking for vessels who are willing to deliver away from the South Line. Aside from blast freezing some 90,000 pounds of salmon every day, Blakey says the North Line barge will also be kicking out some 90 tons of ice per day.
To put it in perspective, that's likely to be somewhere to the tune of, you know, 8 to 10 bags per boat per opening. So it's a significant amount that we believe is kind of needed in order to handle the volumes of fish that most boats are bringing in these days.
He believes North Line can help fill a gap that has developed as more major processors are requiring or heavily incentivizing chilled fish, but there doesn't seem to be enough ice, or the $40,000 to $50,000 RSW upgrade is too much for some fishing vessels. Blakey and Glaw believe if the fishermen can bring them bags of well-chilled fish, they can freeze those sockeye in the round and sell a very high-quality product with the head, bones, and offcuts included.
So a major component of what we're working on is, hey, how do we get the most utilization out of Bristol Bay salmon? You know, we've had good luck maintaining roe quality, frozen in round form. And, you know, freezing on the fishing grounds, we're able to, you know, basically monitor quality directly.
And probably do that with much less labor than an average shore-based processor. Blakey is coming to Dillingham next week to meet with fishermen who are interested in trying something new next season. No doubt part of those discussions will be what makes Northline different than the Accutan, Extreme Seafoods, or a long list of other small processors who tried and failed to cut into the most dynamic and highest volume sockeye fishery on Earth. Blakey says he and Glob are up to the task. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
Alaska's government is expected to have a $600 million gap between how much it spends and how much it raises, and the state budget director says that gap could hurt the Alaska Permanent Fund in the future. This week, Pat Pitney told the House Finance Committee that the legislature has to enact some combination of tax increases and spending cuts. Otherwise, it'll reduce the billions sitting in the Permanent Fund.
We're looking at a way to provide fiscal certainty, connect the economy to the state services received, but we will continue to have the question of reduced spending or increased revenue as we go forward.
State budget projections are based on the assumption that the House and Senate will reach a compromise plan to draw money from permanent fund earnings and cut dividends. But if that happens, it won't be enough to avoid cutting into the fund unless lawmakers agree on even more changes. Pitney says the permanent fund could be $5 billion smaller in just 10 years if the legislature uses it to close the annual budget gap. And she says the reduction would also cut Alaska's interest and investment earnings by $250 million annually. Those earnings are increasingly important to the state's fiscal future.
Assuming we protect the value of the permanent fund into the future, this will probably be our most robust annual revenue source from here forward.
Meanwhile, Governor Bill Walker has proposed a tax on employment income that would generate $320 million. That tax bill was the original reason that Walker called lawmakers into special session, but members of the Senate majority have expressed skepticism about the need for the legislation. They say rising oil revenue will help state finances. Meanwhile, Alaska will continue writing the checks on its Gasline mega project. But Governor Walker and State Gasline Corporation head Keith Meyer say they're hopeful after inking a deal in Beijing yesterday. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Rasha McChesney reports.
As President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping looked on, Alaska's trade delegation signed an agreement with a China-owned oil company giant Sinopec, one of the country's banks, and a sovereign wealth fund. Meyer says Alaska has been trying to woo companies in China for months.
So we've been through the courtship. We're now engaged.
Details of the agreement are sparse, but the deal links Alaska's gas pipeline project to three China-owned entities as potential buyers, lenders, and investors in the project. Anchorage Democratic Representative Garen Tarr says the deal is a positive step, but she's not sure it's enough to convince the legislature to funnel more money into the Gasline Corporation.
Well, I think at this point, the feeling in the legislature is that the remaining $70 to $80 million is what AGDC has to work with right now to get to a decision point.
Tarr says Alaska's corporation will update the legislature in May of 2018 with a go or no-go decision by next December. A substantive deal on the state-run gas line project could be a game changer for Alaska's struggling oil-based economy. The pipeline would cost between $45 and $65 billion to build, and its construction would temporarily add thousands of jobs to the state's economy. The more than 800-mile-long pipeline would connect two oceans and pipe LNG from Prudhoe Bay to the Kenai Peninsula before loading it onto tankers and shipping it to Asia. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
And that's the news from UnAlaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.